Amen. Amen. But you're hanging in there. Amen. Well, I know Kenya is going to have a great day today as he's going to be baptized. Amen. So good to see dear friends with us today. Please turn with me your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. We're continuing our series in the book of Luke today. But before we jump in here, I want to show you guys a picture. I want to show you a picture. Now, who here has an iPhone? Okay. Now, not many people have an iPhone, but some people do, amen. If you have an iPhone, then you know who this guy is. This guy, his name is Steve Jobs. And essentially, he's passed, he's deceased. Sadly, he died of pancreatic cancer at only 56 years old. But his company today, Apple, is one of the first companies, I believe the only company, to be worth $1 trillion. Number one of all the companies in the world worth $1 trillion. But yet, all his billions, and he was worth billions, could not save him when the pancreatic cancer started to ravish his body. It's very convicting. If you take a look here at the second one, that's how he looks in the end stages of cancer. A man who was very healthy, needed support just to walk. And here's a guy, brilliant mind. I mean, you want to talk about an innovator, right? If you go back to the first slide, he had a quote here. He said, "The ones who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones that do." Wow. You see, you gotta have a different set. You have to have a different mind if you're a disciple. Steve Jobs wasn't a disciple, sadly. But he understood that to change the world, you gotta have a different mindset. And I think sometimes as disciples, we think we can have the mindset of the world and be a disciple at the same time. Nope. Family, that is not possible.
That's right.
Even pagans in the world understand that to think differently, you have to change your mind.
That's right.
To achieve great things, to change the world, you have to change your mind. Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. The following one. As you know, he died. Forgive us for the technical issues here with the building, but I'll read you this quote. He says this, "Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life."
Wow.
Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride or fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death.
That's right.
Leaving only what is truly important. Now, of course, he didn't really understand what was truly important because he wasn't a disciple, amen. But I have another longer quote attributed to him that I'm going to read to you later today. But why do I share all this, him? Because our lives are a mist. James 4 tells us. Are you with me here? And so, the title today is different than what I had originally. Originally, I was going to call it Jerusalem, Jerusalem. But today, I'm going to call it Repent or Perish. Repent or perish. Now, when you hear the word repent or perish, as you turn your Bibles to Luke 13, you know it's from the mouth of Jesus. Amen. And sometimes when people talk about repentance and perishing, they say, you preachers, they're always talking about perishing. You're trying to scare us. Well, actually, I am trying to put the fear of God into you. But one thing that's very important, though, that we need to put into consideration, take into consideration, is the fact that what makes us perish? God doesn't want us to perish.
That's right.
He wants all men to come to a knowledge of truth and so be saved.
That's right.
1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you with me here? And I think sometimes people can have a very negative view of God because they think, he's created hell. He's done. No. Matthew 25, God prepared hell to deal with who? The demons and Satan. So if you want to be a disciple of the devil or Satan, then don't worry, there's a place for you. Are you with me here? But that's not why God created hell. He created hell to deal with the devil and his demons.
Right.
And if people want to live that life, well, that's sadly where they will go.
Absolutely.
But the key thing here for us to understand is that sin is like cancer. And as I was looking at that picture of Steve Jobs, how emaciated he was, I realized that what we're going to read today in Luke 13, when Jesus talks about repenting and perishing, or perishing is the fact that in the same way, sin will make us perish even while we live. Are you with me here?
That's right.
And so we've got to have a deep conviction about it. Let's read here in Luke 13, starting in verse 1. And you see the subtitle there is what? Repent or perish. Well, there it is. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Whoa. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all those others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Let's stop there for a quick second. Does this really hit you here? Jesus says it twice. If you don't repent, you perish. We just sang Jerusalem, right? Some people don't believe in repenting, right? They say repentance, that ain't true. But if you want to get to heaven, you better turn 182. Not 182, but you get a 180 and turn. Okay, you got it. So what do we see here, guys? Repentance, the Greek word metamorphosis. The Greek word is metanoia, from which we get the word metamorphosis. As in a caterpillar changing to a butterfly. It's a metamorphosis. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which means that transformation, that change. When Candy gets baptized today, there will be a transformation. He will go from dark to light. Are you with me here? For those of you who are disciples, you have been transformed. Transformed and empowered into the image of Jesus Christ. Are you with me here? You've gone from being the caterpillar that's slugging around, leaving a nasty, slimy trail, to becoming a butterfly. Does that encourage you right there? But sometimes we're tempted to want to go back to the world and become the caterpillar again. And go slipping and sliding on them. It's pretty nasty, you see those guys. Are you with me here? Lola is just looking at me with like a face. Exactly. But the word repentance is actually in the Bible 73 times.
Wow.
Repent, repentance, repenting. There's actually no repenting, by the way. It's either repent or repentance.
Wow.
It's not like I'm in the state of repenting. No, you either repent or you don't. Are you with me here? There's no like half caterpillar, half butterflies walking around. I'm not in a state of metamorphosis. No, no, no. They changed. It's done. Are you with me here? And so as we keep reading, you've got to ask yourself, what is it that I need to change? What is it that I need to repent of today? Like, for example, you know, even this way this morning, I had to get over with my wife. I was just struggling with anger. You know, sometimes anger just kind of comes into you. And you don't know where it comes from.
That's right.
You just start to get irritated. You can get irritated because you have to change your outfit today. You can get irritated because someone cut you off in traffic.
Right.
You can get irritated because you feel like you're not getting what you deserve. Because sometimes people just walk around angry. Are you with me here? What is the sin in your life that, like cancer, is starting to grow? Because I dare say to you, if you start to allow sins of, you know, deceit, anger, pride, even faithlessness start to creep into you, you know, you don't feel cancer growing.
Right.
Steve Jobs, with all the billions he had, could not save himself from pancreatic cancer. What about you this morning? Is there cancer growing in you? Maybe the cancer of contempt. That's growing in you and you're not even aware of it. Let's keep reading. Luke 13, continuing in verse 5. The Bible reads, or 6, excuse me. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. So, what does this vineyard represent? What does this vineyard represent? Remember, it's a parable, right? It's an earthly story with what? A spiritual meaning. I'm glad you asked. Hold your spot. Turn over to Isaiah.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see what the Bible says here. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, let's see here what God is talking about. Why is he talking about repentance and then saying, if we're not producing fruit, something bad is going to happen? Look what the Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 5. Are you there?
Yeah.
Isaiah 5 verse 7. Let's see what the Bible says. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house and nation of Israel. Who's that? That's God's people. And the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. So what is this saying? Going back to Luke 13, God's saying, we are his vineyard, amen?
Amen?
The church is the vineyard, but what is he looking for?
Fruit.
He's looking for fruit.
That's right.
Amen? Now, what's interesting here, I want to show you a picture. It's really cool. Can you see that picture of the ones with all the grapes, bro? The big Mike vineyard? Okay, the big one. You get the one where it's bigger? Yes. This, you can't really see it properly. But one of the most famous plants in the world is the Hampton Court vine. And this vine is a 240-year-old grapevine located in London.
Wow.
Okay? The actual root of the vine is 200 feet away from the furthest bundle of grapes. And it produces 800 pounds of grapes with just one vine.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? There's the person right here. She's harvesting. Now show the other one, bro. Up close. This is just one vine. This is her just getting grapes from the vine. And you go back to the other one, that's how big the vine is. Another one. That's how massive the vine is. It's massive. And as I think about God's kingdom, God's church, the fig tree here, as we're talking about it, represents kind of the Jewish tree, the old covenant, amen? In a lot of ways. So you have a couple things that it's relating to. Not only is it relating to the church, but specifically here, as Jesus is talking to the disciples, or rather the Jews of that time, what's powerful here is he's referring to how the fig tree represented the Jewish tree, the old covenant. Are you with me here? And so, if you keep reading, he's saying, I'm looking for change, I'm looking for fruit, but guess what? There's nothing happening. So I guess we need a new covenant family. We need a church. We need a new standard. And this, of course, was done through Jesus. But for us, as God's church, as God's vineyard, what are the different type of fruits that we need to bear today? Right? What are the different types of fruits we need to bear?
Come on,
bro. Because here's the thing. Time is running out. That's the first point today.
Wow.
Time is running out. The end of the year is coming, family. Not only is the end of the year coming, but we don't know when the Lord's coming back.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Like Steve Jobs, your time is running out. He only had 56 years. How much time do you think you have? No, seriously. How much time do you think you have to bear fruit? Do you think you have... When do you want to die?
Wow.
When do you want to die? 80? 85? 90? 95?
Nope.
What if I were to tell you today that everyone in my family... Like, literally, my mom died of cancer. My aunt died of cancer. My grandmother died of high blood pressure. My dad is 84 and kicking and awesome.
Come on, Dad.
But genetically, it's possible that I will develop cancer. Genetically, it's possible that I could develop high blood pressure. But because I'm in top shape and I feel good, that's all well and good. But my mom still got cancer even though she was a nurse and ate healthy all the time. There are some things that are just your lot.
Yeah.
Are you with me? I appreciate my wife so much. Diabetes, sciatica, all this stuff. It's just, that's her lot, but she handles it with grace. She does not make excuses. Are you with me? We all have different challenges. Some of us have serious medical challenges. But we know that we're going to be with the Lord. So this body is just dust. But as long as that there is breath in my body, I will bear fruit for God. I will glorify his name. Are you with me here?
Amen.
Because all the other things we're doing, our time is running out. You don't know when you're going to die, dude. You just don't know. Shall I remind you? Turn over to James chapter 4. Guys, this is huge. In James chapter 4, what does the Bible say here? Because we can boast about all the things we're going to do. I think everyone in this room has great plans for their life. Would you say so?
Yeah.
We have plans, we have visions, we have goals, right? But look what the Bible says here in James 4. In verse 13, the Bible reads, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. That sounds like every Nigerian.
That's right.
That sounds like every person around you. No. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist. Have you ever seen a mist? Like, right? That's your life. That appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. So, let's get back to Luke 13. Let's examine what are the areas we need to really deal with here. Now, we talked about bearing fruit, yes? Okay, but what are the different types of bearing fruit? We have the fruit of making disciples from John 15. That's candy coming to become a disciple today. Well done to the Truth and Grace Bible Talk. Amen? Lemon trees produce lemons. Disciples make disciples. You get what I'm saying here? And so you have to ask yourself, have you borne fruit this year? Have you been in a Bible study to move someone's heart? To help them to become a true disciple? Who have you baptized this year?
Come on, bro.
Guys, listen, we all got stuff to do. But you got to ask yourself, have you made time to help one person?
Come on.
See, guys, if we have that kind of conviction, then our lives become a lot more focused. We understand if time is running out, I better do something with my life. Yeah. Are you with me here? Mm-hmm. Well, what are the other types of fruits? We have fruit of making disciples, but of course Galatians 5 talks about fruits of the
Spirit.
Right. And so, as a disciple, you should be becoming more and more like who?
Jesus.
Not Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Are we growing in our fruits? Are you with me here? But you know what also is interesting? Psalms 128 talks about fruit of our labor. We're getting things done. Our life is growing. We're achieving things. You know, singles, I want to encourage you. Singles, we need to have a life plan.
Yep.
You need to have a plan of where you want to go and what you want to do. Are you with me here? When I was a young guy, I remember I was in school. I literally had a 5-year plan of where I wanted to be. I knew I was going to graduate, then I'm going to go here, then I'm going to deal with this. I had a plan to my life. But then, the problem is I was a pagan, so I didn't know that it was God that directs my plans. Are you with me here?
Right.
But you don't just live life aimlessly. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You got to have a plan for how you want it. You want to focus on, if I have a job, then I'm going to have a plan to do my best at my job, and after this, I'm going to go somewhere else. You have to think, okay, what am I going to do for my finances? What am I going to do for my relationships? Right? Singles? Go after getting married.
Come on, bro.
Go after dating. Are you with me here? Go after it.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. But in order to go off the date, what do you got to do? You have to go off to getting a job. And after getting a job, you have to do what? You can't just save it on spending foolishly. You have to save your money. Are you with me here? Then you save your money. Oh, by the way, you have to be doing well spiritually. Because nobody wants to date or marry someone who's weak. If you can't lead yourself to heaven, how are you going to lead someone else to heaven?
Yeah.
Your time is running out.
All right.
If you just got strong spiritually, then you'll be able to do well at your job. Then you'll be able to save money. Then you can get a girlfriend, boyfriend. Then you can get married. Then you can have kids.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, then you keep making disciples all through that. Because sometimes the journey becomes the God in of itself.
Yeah.
Sometimes our goals become our God. Instead of remembering that God is our God through it. But do you have a life plan? Guys, we gotta get focused. We're gonna have a singles devo soon. We're gonna do a singles devotional. I appreciate all the great job that Brother Paul and Ariel are doing with singles. Amen. Talk about having a life plan. I want to see all of you guys succeed.
Amen.
I want to see all of you prosper.
Amen.
But it starts with how are you doing spiritually? Because all the money in the world can't save you from cancer. And so that's why God is saying, hey, for 3 years now I've been coming. I've been looking for fruit. But I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? You know, guys, we've almost been here for 3 years. At the end of this year, it will be 2.5 years since the mission team first put their foot down in Lagos, Nigeria. It's pretty awesome. The fruit is clear. But for those of you who've gotten baptized, I have to ask you, have you changed drastically from the time you've gotten baptized? Are you continuing to bear fruit? Show that picture, bro. Sis, of the mustard seed. You know, actually, no, wait. Sorry, that'll come later. Don't worry. This is important because I don't know about you that I want to grow spiritually. I look at Isaiah and Naomi. They're growing up so quick. Yeah. Naomi has like that full dress on today. Did you see it? It is cute. She looks like a little Nigerian samurai right now. And it's so cute. And I'm like, but she is growing. I mean, now the other day she ran to me, Daddy! She'll just run from like that door and run straight to me. I'm ready. And this time, you know, I'm a pretty fit guy. This time, when I picked her up, I was like, whoa, girl! It was like, whoa, she's growing up. This is not a game anymore. Isaiah's still like, I can like throw him up and like, come on. But she's like, whoa, okay. She's growing up. Spiritually, have you grown from the infant to the toddler to the adolescent? Are you growing spiritually? How do you know if you're growing? Are you becoming more effective? Are you growing in your knowledge of God's word? Are you growing in just helping people get to know God? Are you with me here, family? Or are you the same way 2 years ago, 3 years ago, as you are today? Time is running out. Family, we got to have a deep conviction.
Amen.
One of my biggest fears is to wake up and realize that I haven't grown. I have my doctorate, guys, and I'm still learning every day. I never stop learning. I always want to become more effective. I always want to do greater things for God. It goes on here. What's interesting, if you take the first point, your time is running out. Point number two, here's what's really encouraging. In time, the kingdom changes the world. I want to encourage you with this. It's all about time, as you can see here.
Come on.
Let's keep reading here in verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman who was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. I don't understand what all that means, but that's intense. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her. Miraculous gifts power right there. And immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days to work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites." Whoa. You see, guys, I wonder what you would have said. I imagine, right? The synagogue ruler steps up and says, "Hey, hold on here. There's 6 days for work. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Now he's the synagogue ruler. Mr. PhD Pharisee of the day, right?
Yep.
What does Jesus do? "You hypocrite. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Do you know Jesus? Or are you a people pleaser? Are you afraid to tell people what the truth is? Or are you just kind of like, gosh, I don't want to offend you. Ooh, did I embarrass you? Gosh, sorry. That's not Jesus, family. That's not Jesus. Last week we talked about having courageous hearts, amen? Have you gone back to the people that have been studying the Bible and saying, you know what, why have you stopped studying the Bible? Why haven't you come out to church? If there are people even here today that are studying the Bible, amen, I would thank God for you. But if some of you haven't gotten baptized yet, and you know you need to get baptized, have you sat down and said, why haven't you gotten baptized yet? Have you given your whole heart?
Wow.
When's the last time you went to a person and said, you know, bro, I haven't seen you in a Bible study in like 6 months? I mean, I know we're all busy and stuff, but bro, have you forgotten what it means to be a disciple? Have you shared your faith with anybody lately? Bro, I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just trying to ask you. Like, it sounds like you're under Satan's yoke here, bro. Maybe you're too busy to be a disciple. Maybe you're too busy to be saved. I guess, okay, if that's what you think. Are you with me here, fam? You see, we've got to love people enough to tell them the truth. But if you keep kind of sugarcoating everything and acting like everything's fine, it's not fine. There's something else I want to bring up to you. Because if the kingdom's going to change the world, we got to start talking truth and be real. Alright, I'm just going to be very frank with you. The other day, I was talking to some of the leaders here, and it was interesting is the fact that there seems to be a lot of people lollygagging outside of the church on Sundays. There seems to be a lot of people lollygagging and loitering outside the church on Sundays. That needs to stop today.
Amen.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're in church, you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Don't go outside and start sitting there and having conversations for 20, 30 minutes. If you need to go to the bathroom, use the facilities and come back in. This is a hotel.
Yeah.
We have ownership, or rather, we rented this place. This is not for you to go sit outside and just chill for like half an hour. Use the facilities, come back in. Are you with me, family?
Amen.
Are you with me, family?
Yes.
Amen. This is not time for, oh, okay, man, I just want to go outside and chill and go talk to my friend that I haven't seen all week. That's not what this is about.
Yeah.
We're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. If you want to be a disciple, that's what you'll do. Can we continue?
Yeah.
Amen. Guys, we're going to change the world by changing ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important. But you cannot have the cowardice to say, I'm not going to say what needs to be said. This is very important, family. It's time to say what needs to be said. Well, it goes on in verse 18. Are you there? It says, then Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took, planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. Let's see if we can get that picture ready, bro. Right? Now, have you seen this? Now, this is a mustard seed.
Wow.
Right? That's really small. And this is what happens when a mustard seed is planted in hers.
Wow.
And that's a person right there hanging on to a gun. Hey, that's how big the mustard seed is. So why is Jesus talking about this? He's saying, hey guys, this is what the kingdom needs to be here in Lagos. It started, what's he, June 28, 2016? Little mustard seeds. And guess what? It's starting to grow.
Yeah.
It's starting to grow. And soon, our prayer is that it become like this.
Amen.
Is that your prayer, family?
Yeah.
Is that your prayer that God's kingdom will literally expand, not throughout Lagos, throughout all of Nigeria,
amen,
throughout all of West Africa?
That's right.
Guys, we still have to go plant Ghana.
That's right.
We got to go plant Accra, Ghana. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Family, we got to get to Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
We got to get there. There are people waiting for us.
Come on.
Family, we got to have deep conviction.
Come on.
If we're not repenting of just our kind of self-focus, then we won't be able to do what God calls us to do.
Right.
And so it's interesting here too, because this is a great scripture to see how Jesus put his hands on people and healed them.
Right.
With all these people that claim to be healers, if they say they have the gift of healing, why are they not going out doing what he's doing right here?
Yep. Thank you. Come on, bro.
Why are they not going out doing this? He put his hand and what? Immediately, boom. It wasn't like, okay, maybe 2 weeks later.
Yes.
Come on, bro.
We prayed now, we prayed. Oh, don't worry, the healing is coming. The anointing is coming.
Hey.
Yes.
What nonsense is this?
Mm-hmm.
It says immediately, boom, she straightened up. That's amazing. Guys, this is huge. Well, it goes on here. As you see here in verse... Actually, you know, I got to share something with you because this is huge. This issue kind of relates to this woman. There's a woman named Yuni, and she's in Los Angeles. And she was actually born with problems in her body as well, too. And as she was growing up, you know, she was loved, but she couldn't go out running and doing what everyone else was doing, right? She was literally in a wheelchair. And so, that's not the thing that hurt her the most. Not being able to share her heart was the thing that hurt her the most, because what she had was not just a debilitating issue with her body, but it affected her speech too. Are you with me? You know. And so, but her bitterness at not being able to do these things led to pride. Right? And so, but the good news is she studied the Bible and she got baptized.
Wow.
Are you with me here? Is that awesome right there? And now, guys, this is huge. Now, she never misses a meeting of the body.
Wow.
In a wheelchair.
Wow.
Come on.
With her head, and she's like, listen, I will do whatever I have to do, and be wherever I have to be in regards to my walk with God. I will give my best. This woman was overlooked for 18 years, and she had been going to the temple every day.
Wow.
There are a lot of people in a whole bunch of different places today that are still struggling and are literally paralyzed in sin. And they're not getting healed. Are you with me here, family? I want to talk to those who are guests today. If you're a guest here today, you may have been struggling with sins like this woman for the past 18 plus years. If you're like me, it was like a sin of lust, pornography, masturbation. Maybe that relates to you. Maybe it's a sin of people pleasing and deceit. Maybe it's a sin of self-righteousness. Or fits of rage. Are you with me here?
Yes.
And like this woman, you have been crippled by a demonic spirit for 18 years. But I want to encourage you. Like Candace is about to learn today, you can be forgiven of your sins.
Yes.
You can be released of all that control. And you can learn what it means to be free.
Amen.
Now, disciples, I have to encourage you. Sometimes what happens is, even though you get rid of the cancer, what does Satan want to do? He wants to bring it back.
Yeah.
And so we got to remember, the one thing that we do before we become disciples and afterwards is repent. What is the sin that Satan's trying to creep back into you that could hold you back from following the Lord? Are we working as hard as this sister Yuni to do whatever it takes to be right before God? You know, some of us right now are struggling. There's some disciples that are not here today. And you know who they are. Or you should know who they are if you're paying attention.
Wow.
Are you with me here, family?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I realize about people is that they say, I'm too weak, I'm too weak. I'm like, well, the question is, what are you doing to help yourself out of that weakness? Because I believe that a lot of people, if they really want to do something, they'll accomplish it.
Yeah.
One of the most amazing things I've noticed here about being in Nigeria is the spirit of the people. I mean, I think someone said it. If every Nigerian was paid the way they work, everyone would be a millionaire.
Sure.
They work so hard. It's an incredible spirit. I respect that. But the question is, are we working as hard for our walk with God? Are we working out our salvation with fear and trembling the same way we work at our jobs or at our schools? Are you with me here, family? This is huge. Take a look over in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. And then we're going to close on out here in just a bit. And 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, this is huge because, you know, very often people say, when I'm strong, then I'll come back and give my best. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. Let's take a look here. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9. If you have an electronic Bible, you can see it. If you don't, just hear my voice. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to what? Strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You got to ask yourself, are you really fully committed? Are you all in? You know, I'm not sure if you guys ever play card games, but there's this game called poker. And there's this point when you play poker where you say, I'm all in. You take all your chips. Shh. I'm all in. You have to ask yourself, is that the way you feel? Is that, if we were to look at your life, would you say you're all in spiritually? You know, I appreciate my brother Deji. Because what he shared about the welcome this morning is true. This week, it was a tough week for him. It was a tough week. He was like, man, do I go back? He's like, man, if I go back, I don't know if I'll come back to Lagos. He was being honest. He was being real. And he's like, you know, I got my bachelor's degree. I'm ready. I want to crank for the Lord. I want to be an evangelist. I'm like, okay, bro. Well, you've got to make this decision. This is on you. But just make sure that you're not doing this because someone else is telling you to do it. Are you with me here? Just don't say, I want to go back just because family, friends, whatever. No, you've got to have your own conviction. And so, you know, right now he was looking at doing this whole certificate course. And by the grace of God, God brought him back before he could finish it. He had just started it. And he's like, well, I'm halfway through, but should I go? Should I not? Should I stay? And I'm like, bro, you got to make this choice. We believe the kingdom will change Lagos. And with all the transition going on right now, it's like, amen, bro. Well, we're getting ready to go to Joburg. We need someone to raise on up. Talani and Kate are coming with us. Who's going to help serve the campus ministry? We're going to have to split into two churches soon, two regions. Who's going to help? Who's going to raise up? And can I share a little bit, bro, about what happened? Okay. Like, it was interesting because at one point, it got so bad. He's like, you know, Andrew, maybe I should resign as an intern. And I got that text from him. I said, my brother needs some encouragement. I called my brother. I said, bro, how are you? Alpha, come on, talk. I said, bro, yeah, it's been rough, man. It's been rough. I'm just trying to, I was like, well, bro, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be an evangelist. But I think that I'm too young and inexperienced to go into ministry. I was like, well, who told you that, bro? Because according to God, if that's the case, then he wouldn't have called Jeremiah. Well, you know, my family, they say I'm too young and inexperienced. Well, what did you say? Well, actually, I gave him the same scripture you just gave me. So hold on a second. So if you gave him this, then why are you changing your mind on God's word? Have you allowed your family to now come before God's word? I just heard silence on the phone. I'm like, bro, it's time for you to be courageous. It's time to cut the umbilical cord and stop being looked at as a boy and be looked at as a man. With conviction about what you want to do with your life. He's like, bro, he always says, don't panic. Thank you, don't panic. He's like, this is very helpful. This is very helpful. I was like, bro, but again today, you've got to make this choice. You've got to answer, but I cannot tell you to do this. This has got to be your conviction. He said, bro, can you send me some scriptures about things that people have started but didn't finish? I was like, no problem. Look at Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah called Elisha, he was out there with 12 oxen. He was driving the 12th pair. Look at Jesus calling the disciples. They were on the father's boat. They left their father Zebedee in the boat and followed him.
Hey, wow.
I mean, guys, there's so many examples. Amen. So then he gives me, so Wednesday came, this was Tuesday. Wednesday came and he shared about me for good news. And I'm like, oh, thank you, bro. Amen. I'm like, okay. Then he gives me a card. Aww. And it was one of those cards that I put it away. I didn't even bring it with me because it's a special one. And it has it's a very humble card, but it has A, like he put in construction paper, it had like an A for me, Andrew. So, you know, he had all these scriptures on it, Philippians 3, consider whatever is my profit and I'll consider a loss. He's like, Andrew, there's no turning back. I called the university, I withdrawn. I'm done. There's no turning back for me. I'm here to stay and live as you. A lot of people don't have the courage to make that kind of choice. But you know, what's really funny is that all these guys who... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, oh, just drop out of school. That's not what I'm saying. Some of you need to stay in school. You can go and get a master's degree and doctorate degrees. But there are a few people that have the integrity and the skill and the calling to go into the full-time ministry.
That's right.
And I said to Deji, I'm like, bro, is that what you want to do? Do you want to be a science teacher? He's like, He's like, well, I just know that if I do this, my dad has spent more thousands of pounds to do this. And I don't know if I'm going to come back, to be honest. I'm just going to be a science teacher there. And I'm like, bro, have you seen how God has used your life? He gets here, and 5 months later, five members of his family are baptized. He goes out for a prayer walk. He meets Ishioma. Ishioma brings in Osas. Him arriving here in Lagos, I dare say, my brother, you have changed the Lagos church. Yeah. I think it's important to acknowledge that kind of faith. As I said, not everybody has that faith. Not everyone has that courage.
That's right.
And it had to be his own decision. But I know, because you see, a lot of people think, going to ministry, do it when you're 60 years old. Yes, okay. You clearly do not know Jesus.
Right?
A lot of people give up a lot of things just to get degrees.
Yeah.
But I say to myself, there are a lot of science teachers out there. There are a lot of engineers out there.
Yes.
There are a lot of doctors out there. There's a whole bunch of lawyers out there. But there's not a lot of women's ministry leaders. There's not a lot of evangelists in the kingdom of God. And family, I dare say that if we are going to change this continent, much less change the world, more men and women are going to have to raise on up to be willing to accept the call to full-time ministry. Now, to you, you may think to yourself, wow, this is deep. What will my parents think?
Come on, Jack.
What will my family think?
Mm-hmm. Help us out, bro.
What will God think?
Right.
You know, I just want to let you know, Deshi, I'm very proud of you.
Amen.
I think we got to wrap our arms around Deshi because the persecution will continue to come. But if I can encourage you, my brother, as a man who's also done it, I'll tell you right now, giving up everything and accepting the call of full-time ministry is the best decision I ever made in my life. I'm not a millionaire, but I'm rich.
That's right. Come on in.
I'm very rich, my brother. I know where I would be if I hadn't used my talents for God. And I would not be here. I would not even be a disciple. I'd not be married to a beautiful woman. I'm taking a moment right here. Because I want to help you guys understand something. What Deshi did here is something that is small, because to you, you think, wow, this is huge. I know people that put their lives down and died on the mission field.
Yeah. Wow.
From our Fourth Pass Fellowship, guys, I could tell you stories of people who died on the mission field. So we talk about, woo, giving up career. Who's going to go to Somalia and put their life on the line? Who's going to go to Mogadishu? Who's going to put their life on the line?
Come on, bro.
So that more people can be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth.
Right.
I'm not here to play Jesus. I'm not here to play Christianity.
Right.
You know how much someone believes in something by what they are invested in it.
That's right.
Yeah. Deshi is all in. Well done, my brother.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Luke and close on out. You know, again, let me be clear. Not everyone can do that. And I want to encourage you. Deshi went to UCL and got his bachelor's in biomedical sciences. Amen? One of the top schools in the country. Now, why do I say that? Because you know what? The evangelists need to be the best.
Amen. That's right.
The women's ministry leaders need to be the best.
Right.
We don't appoint father. What is the term here? There's a Jamaican term for it. We don't appoint mediocre people to the ministry.
Right.
I think sometimes people think people go into the ministry who are just kind of, oh, there's nothing else left they can do. They can't do anything, so give them ministry, give them Bible. That's that puppy show. That's a Jamaican term. We don't just put any puppy show people into this. What does that mean? That means that we put our best into the ministry. Because the God's people need to be led by the best.
Amen.
I know people, guys, who are PhDs leading churches.
Yeah.
In our former fellowship, they were people, millionaires. Michael Kirshner, did I not tell you this? President of one of the divisions of General Mills.
Wow.
Left $50 million on the table to come and be a disciple. And now he is the lead administrator for our movement.
Yeah.
And you're shocked because you can't believe that people can actually give their best to the kingdom.
Wow.
That's why you're shocked. But yet people give their best to the world. They give their best to the world so much that their marriages are falling apart. Their kids don't even know them.
Wow.
But when it comes time to give our best to the church, to the kingdom, well, my soul gets tough. But one day, when it's your time to die, you'll see what's really important. Luke 13, let's close on out.
Come on, bro.
Your time is running out, family. So we got to make a difference to change this world. We don't know how much time we're going to have. But with the time I have left, I'm going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
In Luke 13, let's see what the Bible says in verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Now, why do you think someone asked him that? Because his teaching made people think that way.
Yeah.
I think some of us in here believe that everyone's going to go to heaven. No, I think so. I think that if you think, as long as someone believes in Jesus, okay, that's it. Family, you don't know your Bible if you think that. When Jesus preached, people realized there is a narrow road of salvation.
Yeah.
And so the Bible says, even someone listening to him say, hey, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Let's see what he says. He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try. Well, we know trying is lying. I'm trying. You try. You know what's funny? The world knows how to do stuff. If they say they want to get married, they make every effort. They make every effort to find that ring. They make every effort to find that place to live. Oh, no one can stop them. Right? And if they have a job, I gotta make every effort. Even after the travel 3 hours on a bus, I will make it. It's my job, I will make every effort. You don't say, I will try. You know people say, are you coming to church? By God's grace. Yeah, that's the classic one. By God's grace. I shall see you then. What you're saying is, I'm not sure, hopefully, but people put religious words on it. By God's grace. Just say you can't come. Just be honest and say, listen, you know what? I'm not really sure, but I'll try. Don't say even you'll try. I'm not coming. Just be honest. People lie so much. Just be honest. It's refreshing when someone's honest. It says here, look what he says here in verse 25. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you'll stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he'll answer, I don't know you or where you came from. Then you'll say, we ate and we drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he'll reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evil doers. Here's the thing, family. It doesn't make a difference whether you have a cross around your neck, or whether you go to church on Sunday, or whether you know all the songs in the songbook. Unless we repent of our sins and get right, it won't matter if we claim to know God.
Yeah.
Repentance is the key to salvation. Are you with me here, family?
Yeah.
And for those of us here who are still, you're not a baptized disciple yet, it's time to decide. The Bible says, make every effort to enter. Well, if it was easy, why would you need to make every effort? Some people, they don't want to really deal with their hearts. Some people come into the kingdom and they say, you know what? I want to be a disciple. Isn't it good enough that I want to be a disciple? Baptize me already. Listen, I'm here, aren't I? Baptize me. No, sorry, we make disciples and we baptize disciples.
Right.
Yes. You have to be a student and follower of Jesus. Unless you're really trying to be like Jesus and deal with yourself, I can't baptize you. But I believe. You can't tell me I don't believe. I didn't say you didn't believe. I said you haven't changed. You haven't repented. There's still sins in your life that you haven't repented of. Should I make you wet and then you stand before God and he says, get away from me, you evildoer? Is that what you'd like me to do? Baptize you to make you feel better? Or baptize you because you're threatening me? We baptize disciples in this church. We baptize people that are ready to go on the front line. We baptize people that are all in. Maybe some of you slipped in here without that. I hope not. But the truth of it is that we got to make every effort. Well, how do you know someone's making every effort? What does every effort look like? What does every effort look like, family? Is coming to church making every effort? Well, isn't that the basics? Should I be pleased that you make it to church? Sometimes people come to church and like, you should be happy I'm here. They don't say that, but they act that way. It's like, wow, this is great. I'm really pleased by your presence. Guys, are we having discipling times? Are we sharing our faith? Are we in Bible studies? Are we growing in our knowledge of God? Are you with me here? Are you making every effort? Are you trying to be a Christian? Maybe you're trying to be saved.
Wow.
It's trying. You got to stop that. You got to make every effort. It's time, family. If you're a guest here today, I want to challenge you. Study the Bible every day.
Amen.
Study the Bible every day. Find time in your schedule to make every effort. The problem that's been frustrating me lately is that people are not making every effort to know God. There's a friend that I'm studying with right now, though. He wants to study. And I'm like, you know what? If I gotta wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be able to study with this guy at 6 o'clock in the morning, maybe that's what I gotta do.
Wow.
I remember, before, we baptized, I remember Sammy. You remember, where was Sammy? There's Sammy. We were studying with Sammy. Talani and the guys were studying with Sammy. We were there 7 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yeah.
7 o'clock in the morning, Bible study. This guy was making every effort.
Yes.
He had his job. He had all the stuff going on. He's like, listen, I will make time.
Come on, Sammy.
Some people say, I'm too busy. You're too busy to be saved.
Yeah.
That's your issue. You're not too busy to go to your job, though. Disciples, when's the last time you missed your discipling time? Family, have you been having your discipling times?
Yes.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Family, have you been at midweek services getting deeper teaching?
Yeah.
Guys, we got to have a conviction. Are you with me?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not even on notes here. I'm just talking from my heart.
Come on, bro.
I'm just trying to... Guys, it's time to be all in. A sister came to me this morning. She's like, Andrew, how are you feeling? I'm like, you know what? I'm concerned. Because I don't think everyone's all in. And I know what's coming. I know we're in a war. I know that the moment you leave this room, Satan is coming after you. He may be even after you right now by what I'm saying to you. Some of you are starting to move around your seats like... It's like the demon's fighting you and the spirit's... You better start accepting the word of God. That's what I'm just showing you what the scriptures are. I'm concerned. If we're going to hit 160 disciples by the end of the year, we ain't going to do this by having one baptism a week, family. Are you with me here? Everyone has got to have the same conviction. Everyone's got to go after it. I appreciate my brother Toby. Toby has been sick. He has his own business. He travels to Bible talk from where he works. This guy makes no excuses.
Yeah.
And he's baptized like three guys in the last month. Guys, that is incredible. He is making every effort. It is sickness he's counting the cost for people.
Come on.
It reminds me of Charles. Charles sitting there. Literally, I told you before. What was it called?
Conjunctivitis.
Apollo with the Nigerian term. His eyes are like this. What does he do? He's there early. Puts on his sunglasses to cover his eyes. Taking notes. Counting the cost. That's making every effort, Charles. Well done. That's what it means to be a disciple. And so, family, for you today, you gotta ask yourself. Turn over to Joshua here. I hope you've been making every effort to even use the Light the Fire campaign.
Yep.
Or maybe you've been trying. See, family, this is what I'm talking about. We've been talking about this Light the Fire campaign. And the question is, have you really been going after it? Or have you been trying? That's why I'm concerned.
Come on, bro.
Because you don't see how serious this is. Take a look at here. Joshua 24. What does the Bible say here? Joshua 24, starting in verse 14.
Okay.
The Bible says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day, today.
Wow.
Time is running out, family. Where's the third point, bro? It's time to decide.
Amen.
If serving the Lord seems undesirable for you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, as for the Lagos church,
yes,
we will serve the Lord. The church said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Where's your conviction, family?
Come on, bro.
It's time. If we're going to do this, every single disciple's got to share their faith every day.
Yep.
Every single disciple's got to go up to being in Bible studies. Mm-hmm. It's time. Time is running out. You do not know when life will end. Let's put up that picture one more time of Steve Jobs as he's dying. I'm going to read you a quote here. Now, the last words of Steve Jobs, his wife said, were, "Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow." Those are supposedly his last words. But I've also found something that was attributed to him. Whether or not this is from him or not, I just want to share with you. It says, "I've come to the pinnacle of success in business. In the eyes of others, my life has been the symbol of success. However, apart from work, I have little joy. Finally, my wealth is simply a fact to which I am accustomed. At this time, lying on a hospital bed and remembering all my life, I realize that all the accolades and riches of which I was once so proud have become insignificant with my imminent death. In the dark, when I look at green lights of the equipment of artificial respiration and I feel the buzz of their mechanical sounds, I can feel the breath of my approaching death looming over me. Only now do I understand that once you accumulate enough money for the rest of your life," that's what he wanted to do, huh? "You have to pursue objectives that are not related to wealth. It should be something more important. For example, stories of love, art, dreams of my childhood." Well, he wasn't a disciple, that's all he knew. But then he goes on, he says, "No, stop pursuing wealth. It can only make a person into a twisted being just like me." Now, what most people don't realize is that he actually had a daughter out of wedlock and never wanted to admit that she was hers. Until finally, later, he admits it after like 15, 20 years. Exactly. Oh, you should go check it out. It's his stepdaughter. Literally, did not want to admit that this woman was his daughter. When he died, he left her millions. It says here, God has made us one way. Oh, now he's talking about God. It's funny how when people are about to die, all of a sudden everybody wants to talk about God. God has made us one way. We can feel the love in the heart for each of us and not illusions built by fame or money like I made in my life. I cannot take them with me. I can only take with me the memories that were strengthened by love. This is the true wealth that will follow you, will accompany you. He will give strength and life to go ahead. Love can travel thousands of miles, and so life has no limits. Move to where you want to go. Strive to reach the goals you want to achieve. Everything is in your heart and in your hands. What is the world's most expensive bed? The hospital bed.
Absolutely.
You, if you have money, you can hire someone to drive your car, but you cannot hire someone to take your illness that is killing you. Material things lost can be found. But one thing you can never find when you lose is life. Whatever stage of life where you are right now, at the end, we'll have to face the day when the curtain falls. Please treasure your family, love your spouse, love your friends, treat everyone well, and stay friendly with your neighbors. Steve Jobs. We don't know if he actually said that or not. It was attributed to him. We'll see. But one way or the other, I can tell you something right now. I'm not going to let sin in my life make me emaciated like that. You know what the scary thing is? This is how God sees you if you're this way. But the funny thing is that you don't see yourself that way.
Right.
If God were to take a spiritual snapshot of who you are right now, how would you look? Would he say you're totally committed? Family, let's repent.
Amen.
Let's repent of the sin that literally wants to eat us alive. If you're a guest today, study the Bible. It's time. Next week, we're going to have our prodigal son, our welcome home Sunday. My prayer is that we're going to make it a bring your neighbor day. Amen, family?
Amen.
I want to encourage you, let's fill up this room again. But before you fill up this room, let's make sure you fill up your own heart with God's love for you. Let's go after giving him our best, because he deserves nothing less. Amen? Thank you, and God bless you.
Let's all rise, please.